Have you also been thrown back to middle school, learning about the Middle Ages and the Knights of the Round Table and Sir Gawain and the Green Knight and, oh yeah, the bubonic plague, waves of infection that killed a third of the European population with outbreaks for centuries, one in 1564 in Stratford-upon-Avon, England. The town records there record a weaver's apprentice death with the words, "Hic incipit pestis, here begins the plague." And there, a young couple barricaded themselves in their home. The Black Death had already killed two of their children. They wanted to try to save their three-month-old, William. William Shakespeare. His life would be shaped by plague. In 1606, when there was another outbreak and Shakespeare was 42, everything, including London's Globe Theater, was shut down. He hunkered down and wrote three epics, King Lear, Macbeth, and Antony and Cleopatra. Joining us now to talk Shakespeare and the plague, James Shapiro, who teaches English and comparative literature at Columbia University and is author of the new book, Shakespeare in a Divided America. And Professor James, you know, this is a frightening, terrible time, but we have to remind ourselves we are not yet loading bodies onto horse-drawn carts. You know, this is not the Middle Ages where they had no medicine, but still, are you finding your students thinking about plague in this time?
One of them is recovering from coronavirus. 16 days later, he still looks pretty beat up. Mm-hmm. So, no, we're not having plague carts and plague burial pits, but I'm speaking to you from New York City. Elmhurst Hospital in Queens has a refrigerator truck outside piling up bodies. So it's not as bad as it was, and I do hope that it gets better. But, yes, Shakespeare has been there before us in this way, as in so many others.
Well, let's talk about what he did. Romeo and Juliet, for instance, people might forget how plague played a role in that terrible outcome of their love story. I mean, we remember maybe Mercutio saying, "A plague on both your houses," but there really was a plague on them.
It's something that Shakespeare added to his source materials. You had mentioned in your introduction that a plague had struck London in 1606. There had been an enormously powerful plague that struck London in 1593, a year or so before he wrote Romeo and Juliet. The theaters were closed for 14 months or so. 10,000 Londoners died, maybe one out of every seven living in the city at the time. So when Shakespeare writes Romeo and Juliet, in the immediate aftermath of that plague, and describes a scene in which Friar John is sent to deliver a message to Romeo, and that message can't get there because Friar John is suspected of having been in an infected house, and he is quarantined, so unable to carry that message to Romeo. That would have been lived experiences for Londoners just coming out of what I hope will be coming out of quite soon, but a far more lethal pandemic.
Well, and to remind people, Juliet has a fake death, and then this letter doesn't get delivered to Romeo, telling him that because, as Friar John says, "I was in the house where the infectious pestilence did reign, and so yes. I still have the letter. It doesn't get to Romeo. Oh, no." So Romeo has killed himself, and then Juliet, finding out that he has, she kills herself. This would have been very powerful for that audience.
I think quite terrifying, all the more so because Shakespeare and his fellow playwrights almost never wrote about the plague. People died in all kinds of ways in Shakespeare's plays. Nobody ever dies of plague. It's just taboo. So the few times that he does mention plague, mostly in his tragedies, it hits with incredible force.
Yeah. Because we were reminded that probably people didn't want to go to the theater to hear about the thing that was frightening them. So in order for, if he was going to use it, it would have to be, you know, as a knowing, powerful tool. It reminds us now, you know, artists are probably working on different things while they're sequestered. But I don't know if people are going to want to see a story about a virus.
I doubt that anyone, maybe we'll be writing about it in our diaries, and I'm sure a lot of artists are doing that. But it'll be a while before I think we'll go to movies about pandemics again.
Yeah. Talk about another play, which you've written about in a book called The Year of Lear, Shakespeare in 1606, the year that we spoke of, in which he was hunkering down and writing. That is you know, something to be said of this time, that a great artist like Shakespeare could write one of the greatest plays in literature in that terrible year. How do you think it affected how he shaped King Lear?
We think Shakespeare is extraordinary in a lot of ways, but one of the things that we might understand better right now is from 1603, when perhaps the worst outbreak in his lifetime struck London and killed over a fifth of his fellow Londoners in that year, up to 1610, plague came back again and again, so that Shakespeare's greatest plays are all written in the shadow of, or during, or in the immediate aftermath of plague. And I'm thinking of King Lear and Macbeth and Antony and Cleopatra and Coriolanus, Timon of Athens. These plays really bear the mark of living through such a terrible experience. And it may well be that his move towards writing tragedy at this time is a kind of response to the tragedy that his society was experiencing in these years.
Well, we just saw Glenda Jackson take on the role of King Lear on Broadway, had this incredible conversation with her. But I'm thinking now of, you know, Lear out on the heath. He's going crazy. He's made mistakes. He's been paranoid. He hasn't trusted his children. And, you know, this was an embattled man. I mean, maybe not sheltering in place, but kind of stuck in a metaphorical mental prison.
Lear is changed in the course of the play. And Lear, at his worst, curses his eldest daughter with a kind of claim that must have been excruciating to hear when he says to Goneril earlier in the play, "Thou art my flesh, my blood, my daughter, or rather a disease that lies within my flesh, which I must needs call mine. Thou art a bile, a plague sore, an embossed carbuncle in my corrupted blood," which is as terrible a thing as you could say to another person during a time, a period of plague. So when he is transformed in the course of his experience in the play and says, as a ruler of his country, looking at those suffering, "I have taken too little care of this," and it may be too much to hope that our national leaders and international leaders right now may have a similar response, feel that they too have taken too little care of the social problems that are under the magnifying glass right now.
Hmm. Professor, what other lines can we be thinking of? Here in this time, even though this is, again, such a frightening time, we're seeing the pictures that are coming out of, as you said, New York and crowded emergency rooms. But we're not, most of us are spared. Fewer and fewer of us will be spared. We know that. But most of us are spared, really looking this current plague in the face. Just where else can we look in Shakespeare to see how, you know, people recoiled from it?
I would say when I look at Shakespeare in this situation, what strikes me most is he didn't flee. He stayed in place in London and understood that as an artist, his role, his job, so to speak, was to help people when they came out of these terrible periods, when the theaters reopened, and that his works were there to give them comfort and clarity. And I'm involved with a lot of theater companies. A lot of things are on hold right now. I do know that when we come out on the other side of this, we're going to need theater and we're going to need Shakespeare, and it'll be there for us.
That's James Shapiro. He teaches English and comparative literature at Columbia University, is author of the new book Shakespeare and a Divided America, taking a look at plague through the lens that Shakespeare did. Fascinating. Professor James, thanks so much.
My pleasure.
And the other thing to take from Shakespeare, it strikes me, they got through it.